Howdy, howdy, folks. Welcome back to Hoot and a Half, the last episode of the year 2024. First off, I just want to say thank you so much for sticking with us this entire year. Your support means the world. And we're just going to dive into this episode right now.
Yeah, we're going to be going through some of the best, most interesting, newsworthy pop culture moments and stories throughout the year.
Yes, that's right, Mike.
And also want to just say thank you for giving us another year of your ears and eyes and comments and likes and reviews and clicking the links that our sponsors are giving us, because it would keep the show going. So just thank you for being a listener for the last 4 years. That's a full...
Yes.
So some people that have been listening to us may have started freshman year of high school and now they're graduating high school.
Oh, geez. I love it. My favorite like cameos are like the people who book ones who've been like longtime listeners and stuff. They're like, it just makes my day. And so many of the people who book them are like the OGs.
Do you remember who the first guest we ever had on Hoot and a Half was when we just did audio?
Yeah. Josh Peck.
Yes, sir.
Of course.
You right don't think before the pandemic.
Would remember the first episode?
I mean, my memory sometimes, as we know, is not perfect. But you have a pretty good memory.
And then our second one was Carly.
Yep.
And then third was probably...
Jason?
Yeah, it was Jason, definitely.
But I think we recorded a test one with Jason first. He was the first guy we ever recorded with.
As just like our... But we put that one in the vault and then we released that one.
And then we had Josh come to my small little apartment in Studio City. We recorded that and then I think we waited like... We recorded that in like January and then the pandemic hit. Well, we've had quite a...
Quite a ride indeed.
Quite a story. But we're going to just be going through some of the things that happened in 2024. I was thinking about making up things to see if like you were like, that never happened.
Oh, if you did, you would know. My brain would know. I'm worried that the ones that I have part of my recap that you probably don't know.
Okay. The first one that happened in January, which I still haven't seen, is apparently the Joe Coy hosting the Golden Globes fiasco.
It was a disaster.
Can you remind me what happened here?
So Joe Coy was picked to host, the Golden Globes, and he just was not a good host. And the one part where I thought he really lost just respect from me or my enthusiasm and satisfaction with his performance was that he had really bad jokes, and then he was like, hey, I didn't write these. He, like, blamed it on the writer. And I think that as a comedian, yes, you have joke writers, but you are part of that team. You own the jokes with them. And so for him to distance himself from his jokes, that kind of fell flat. And it was just, I don't know, it was a little unprepared.
Was it like the monologue or the whole night was just a disaster?
Yeah, it was the monologue. It was likability. It was just, you know, having good vibes and mojo with the crowd, and it fell a little flat. But this year, or this upcoming year, the one hosting that I am so excited, and I'm also so surprised that he has never hosted the Oscars.
Conan O'Brien?
Conan O'Brien, baby. I think he will be perfect for it.
And isn't Nikki Glaser doing the Golden Globes this year, I think?
Oh, really?
I think so.
Nikki Glaser is an all-star. I wish I knew more of her stuff and was more familiar with her, but every time I see her in clips, she's incredible.
One of the best.
And she can do Gracie Abrams songs very, very well.
Which award show would you host if you were given Grammy, Oscar, Tony,
Golden Globe? With the status I have now...
No.
If I was a huge late night host like Conan, Jimmy Kimmel, Oscars is number one.
That's you. But I'm saying you're Matt King.
Yes.
And for whatever reason, in the next year, things go really well and you have the choice.
Within a year?
Yeah.
Within a year. Give me the People's Choice Awards. That's what like I think if you have had a really good year solo and
you don't think you could do it?
Go right into the Oscars, because I would want everybody, I want to be friends with the people who were celebrating that night. I think the Oscars should go to someone who's been around the block. Majority of the guests, the people that are attending it, are also familiar with this guy.
Not an outsider. Right.
Though I think the more fun event, though, is the Golden Globes, because they are able to drink at the Golden Globes. Celebrities are sitting at tables. They're in really good moods. There's a little bit more of
as pressure-inducing also.
Right. And you
don't want to be like talking shit to like Jennifer Garner, or like Amy Adams, and you've never met them before. You're like,
correct,
that was a stinker. Am I right, guys? Yeah.
And then I feel like Emmys needs to be somebody who is like actively in the TV industry. I don't think like a podcast host could just come in and do that as well. But these are just my takes. And
which
the Grammys,
one do you think you would be best at though?
Probably, I would say the Oscars.
I think so too.
The Oscars, because Golden Globes is a little bit of TV as well. right?
Yes. Golden Globes is TV.
And TV, you can't keep up with all the shows.
Right.
If you were going to the Oscars and you can host the Oscars, you can have enough time to prep and watch all of the movies, documentaries, shorts, everything that's nominated to be fully familiar with it. For shows, you can't watch all these seasons and episodes of all of that. And you know, I have just trauma from going to the Emmys one time.
When your appendix exploded?
Yeah.
Right.
Would love to get an invite back so I could have actually seen the ending of the Emmys.
Instead of squirming on the floor.
Yeah, hiding behind a curtain.
Outside in the hallways.
Completely traumatic. But
okay, what do you have for January?
January, I guess a big one, you know, obviously Barbenheimer. That was pretty big.
That was January?
Was it not?
I don't know.
It was a little bit like December leading into January. No, I think Barbenheimer was January. Oh, it was...
Yeah, I thought it was summer.
Maybe I pulled up a really bad recap list and that was at the top and I figured that was January.
When did Barbie come out?
I take it all back.
Oh, Matt.
I take it all back.
We're known here for our research. July 21st, Barbie came out. Thank you for telling us when the answer
was. My badness.
Sorry about that, Matt.
You know what?
Yikes. And that's 1 point deducted from Team King. Let's see if you can come back in round two. February, we had... What?
Nothing. I'm just embarrassed.
Nothing really popped off in February.
But there was also the Wonka experience that was basically like the new fire festival that got...
In Scotland?
Yeah, happened in Scotland. People bought tickets for, you know, this pop-up Wonka experience that was heavily advertised that it was going to be completely immersive, full of sets and costumes and everything. And it turned out to be just a bogus event.
What I don't remember this
at all.
It was
people dressed up in cheap Amazon Oompa Loompa costumes.
Was this orchestrated by the studio or the
Roald Dahl Foundation? I thought it was a huge awakening into just the pop-up experience industry right now. I think there's a lot of scams out there. People are advertising these events and charging people absurd amounts of money, especially families, children, all of that. And it's not what people paid for. And it was hilarious.
Yes, there's definitely a lot of those, like, I don't know, it's the like Museum of Ice Cream in New York.
And Museum of Illusions and stuff.
It's just a glorified Instagram photo op, like a Wings wall, but you pay $200 to get in.
Yes. Oh, and even there was the whole Bridgerton one that happened recently that ended up being a total scam. It was like a Bridgerton ball. People buying all these expensive gowns, showing up, and they're serving you food on paper plates.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah. So I think it was just a big wake-up call.
You know the guy who does the New York City taxi, so what's your take? Or not taxi, the subway thing?
Oh, yes, yes.
Have you seen, he does like a, there's a talk where he also did one of these New York City pop-up things, and he talks about how he just like had this idea, and then it went really viral, and he sold the tickets before he even had a venue located, and basically spent like 2 months and ended up losing like all of his money. Like, it was some insane story, but that guy did a similar thing where it just kind of, he posted like something that he thought was a funny idea, sold a bunch of tickets, everyone wanted to go, and he had nothing set up for it. And I feel like if you just get, a couple guys who have an idea, like, I don't know, would you ever set one up like that? As if you were to do a...
If I did, I would make it good.
What would you do?
Oh, I don't know. Would I be like legally getting around something?
Sure. Imagine magic wand.
I think it would be really cool to do like sets of bedrooms of all of your favorite childhood like TV shows and stuff. Like we have Hey Arnold's bedroom. We have like the Even Stevens house. Like you get to go through almost like all of the sets of your favorite sitcoms or cartoons and recreate those in real life. That is one I would actually want to go to.
Would you want to do it based on anything that is live action, like the Home Alone house, or is it strictly bringing from cartoon to real life?
I guess I was just thinking purely TV shows, but sure.
But cartoons only?
Or I guess like cartoons only. I don't know. It would just be a combo of like 90s nostalgia, early 2000s.
Like the Simpsons house, a Family Guy house.
Whatever the budget is and how big of a convention center or airplane hangar
you can get.
We could get. Yes. We could pull it off. I'd actually be down to do it. And I would make it good. The one trend that I thought was, it's becoming very popular these past few months, are these celebrity lookalike contests.
Love those.
It started off in Central Park, and it was a Timothée Chalamet lookalike contest.
Yes.
And Timothée Chalamet actually ended up showing up.
Oh, yep.
To it. So people are also doing these in like hopes of way of
like Sydney Sweeney lookalike contest at my apartment.
Paul Mescal, yeah. Jeremy Allen White. I think it's just funny that
the United Health CEO.
Is there one? Are
there
people
was
doing
one in
it?
New York. There already was one in New York, and like seven people showed up.
Oh my.
Yeah.
I think it's just it's funny. It's quirky. I love myself a good lookalike contest. I don't know if I would actually end up going to one, nor would I ever like. I feel like compete in one. You could do a Jack Antonoff off one, and I think
there's a lot of most Jewish white people I
kind of
probably
look,
do
kind of all look kind of a little similar, but I think you could get kind of
the Jack Antonoff one. I would certainly do that.
Yeah, and
he was just, you saw he was just on Trackstar. Jack Coyne got him on Trackstar.
No way.
Yeah, it was really good.
Oh, I gotta.
And they did a 4-minute like extended version on YouTube also.
Oh, sick. But you know, like a fun, interesting fact that like there were lookalike contests a lot back in the day.
Okay.
And Charlie Chaplin, did you know this? Entered a Charlie Chaplin lookalike contest and lost.
How is that possible?
Well, I think one, media exposure and stuff back then, you know, silent films and all of that, people couldn't like actively. You know, you saw the guy on the screen, but you didn't see maybe him in the print on your phone. You don't know his face that well. And I don't know if he maybe downplayed his look in
or it was
all
like years later and he looked a little older or different and it was maybe a younger guy.
You know what? I've never learned into the specifics, but I've always known that that's like a true fact that Charlie Chaplin entered his own lookalike contest and lost.
Well, I wonder what year that was. Charlie Chaplin.
Because he was doing like speaking roles around like late 30s, early 40s, like The Great Dictator he's speaking in, right?
According to Snopes, it is unconfirmed.
What? No!
It said it was a rumor originally from a 1920s newspaper. Circulating online.
Damn it, I think about that all the time when I see these celebrity lookalike contests.
I don't know if this is accurate. According to Snopes, it's unconfirmed. I'll look into it more. But yeah, the lookalike, they don't, I feel like they're always in New York though. You never, do we do them out here?
I think it's possible that people can like actually show up and get to a location for a cheap amount of price in New York City.
Right.
LA, I'm sorry, I have to spend $30 on an Uber to go to a lookalike contest. I'd rather just take
and
the
And it's always in like, you know, 14th Street or Union Square or something, just a place where there's already a lot of people. And
this may be a dumb subway question.
Yeah.
So what is the normal subway fare? Like,
I think it's like $2.75 now.
You can go anywhere off that $2.50.
You go within the subway, yeah.
Within the subway system.
If you transfer, whatever, but yeah.
Yeah, there's no like, it doesn't like.
But once you get out, once you exit the turnstile, then you have to repay.
Are you a loyal guy where you always exit out of the turnstile? Do you go through the emergency exit? Have you ever snuck on a subway, Mike?
The only time I've snuck on is sometimes your little pass doesn't work and it's the last train of the night. It's 2:30 a.m. You see your train pulling up. You're swiping. Either you forgot to refill it.
Now you can do Apple Pay now.
I mean, I lived there 5 years ago.
Sorry.
But at least there's been more than once where I'm just like, fuck this, I'm hopping. And you and everyone else just, it's the last train home. You got to hop it. Nothing ever happens.
Okay.
Apparently, they've cracked down on it a lot more.
I see it happen all the time.
Which is a little silly because it's like $2.75. There's bigger things to worry about. But
right.
Yes, you can go anywhere. But then this, and I also feel like a lot of different types of people look in New York City. Like LA is a very, I feel like so many people just look the same here. Everyone's trying to look like, you know, a famous Kardashian, plastic surgery, whatever. New York is the best because everyone just looks completely different. It's like people from all over the world, way more multicultural, but you can get
away with a little bit more.
And there's like 8 million people in such a small, LA is very spread out. So if we're going to do a lookalike contest, like you said, it's all the way in Venice, like on a Friday afternoon. Ugh. But Friday afternoon, Union Square, there's already 2 million people in that area anyway. So
back to like, you know, bogus events and stuff. I just want to add this in. You know, Fire Festival's actually going to happen like this next
year. That's what they say.
Do you think it's going to happen? Do you think he will be able to pull it off? Billy McFarland.
I don't think so.
You think it will be another disaster?
Probably not to the same level. I'm sure someone, or I hope someone, is giving a little bit more thought and like making sure contracts are signed, flights are booked, hotels are set up, food is arranged, but
I'm so eager to see how that plays out.
I say once a con man, always a con man.
What else do we have in the...
Well, then we have in March, Which I did not follow because I'm not a sports guy, but March Madness Fever, a Cinderella story basketball team, captures the nation's attention.
And which team was that?
Oh, I have
that
no
won?
Idea. It doesn't say.
Oh, what?
Well, I just did a little GPT summary. Do you know about this, the March Madness Cinderella story?
I just know that nobody ever gets their March Madness brackets correct. I mean, I did my own bracket, and I lost, and I stopped paying attention.
Because there's a big prize if you win.
Yes, I believe it's Warren Buffett says he will give $1 billion.
It's not a billion.
Is it, or is it just $1 million?
I feel like it's a billion.
I think, though, because of the odds, and he knows the mathematics behind it, that he said he would give a bill to whoever can perfectly guess a March Madness bracket.
Is he related to Jimmy?
No, they are not related, but they were friends.
They were friends?
I have Googled that like a handful of times in the past, but they were friends, but they are two different guys.
Do you know what Warren named his son? All you can eat.
That's not true.
No, it's not.
No.
But all you can eat buffet.
Warren Buffett's a nice guy. I think he's a little billionaire, but you know.
Yes.
He lives below his means.
According to certain people. Let's see. $1 million.
$1 million. Okay.
For life.
For life? $1 million every year?
I guess. And the Berkshire Hathaway employee with the best bracket earns $100K.
Isn't it wild, though, that nobody has been able to get a perfect bracket? And you can make as many brackets. Well,
no, I think you have to submit one.
Into his.
Yes, yes.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I should try that. Can you imagine if I just won that? Gonzaga? Sure.
Gonzaga always does kind of well. I remember back in the day, my dad had to manage the brackets for his entire office, and it was back before, you know, there were digital websites or apps where we can all put it in. So we had to sit there by print, and I had to type in everybody's draft picks.
He's put you to work?
And yeah, me and my brother would take shifts, you know. Start of the new year is the perfect time to get organized, set goals, and prioritize what matters the most. And for me, a top priority is my financial wellness, which feels more important than ever. And thanks to Rocket Money, my goals feel achievable. They show me all of my subscriptions in one place and help me easily cancel ones that I forgot about that I've been paying for. Rocket Money also pulls together all of my spending across all of my different accounts so I can clearly track my spending habits and see where I can cut back.
So what is Rocket Money? Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps you find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. You can see all of your subscriptions in one place and know exactly where your money is going. For ones you don't want anymore, Rocket Money can help you cancel them.
Rocket Money's dashboard gives you a clear view of your expenses across all of your accounts. You can easily create a personalized budget with custom categories to help keep you spending on track. You can see your monthly spending trends in each category to know exactly where your money is going. You can also get alerts if your bills increase in price, there's unusual spending activity, or if you're close to going over your budget. The new goals feature automatically saves money for you, so you don't have to even think about it. You can pay off credit card debt, put away money for a house, or just build your savings. Rocket Money makes it easy.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features.
So cancel your unwanted subscriptions and reach your financial goals faster with Rocket Money. Go to rocketmoney.com/hoot today. That is rocketmoney.com/hoot. rocketmoney.com/hoot. Back to the episode. Just sitting there in front of, you know, Windows 98 typing in all. And I remember just Gonzaga and Duke. And I was like 7 years old. And those were the first exposure I ever had to those
teams. I'm
going to
do it this year. I'll submit to Warren Buffett's.
Okay.
Maybe I'll win.
It's hard when you fill out a bracket, though, because like you want to chase like your heart on things. But then you want to be like, no, I want to like think that there are going to be
it also
upsets.
Tells you the seed number that they are, right?
Yes, but that doesn't matter sometimes.
I know. So you got to pick your upsets and pick your victories, and mm-hmm. I'm going to try it. That sounds really fun. In April, we had Coachella with surprise guests.
I wasn't there.
Vampire Weekend.
Oh, Vampire Weekend, yes. And they brought up Paris Hilton and Abraham Lincoln.
Mean Girls, the musical, came out.
Oh, the
did you
movie.
See it?
Yes, I did see it, and I thought it was terrible.
Really?
I really thought it just wasn't good. I believe that the musical is good, but the movie, I feel like they just did not execute it. I don't think they should have cast it, even though I love that little Australian girl to play Kat. Is that her name, Kat, in Mean Girls? I just thought she wasn't that good of a singer. I thought they should have casted somebody else. And I think they should have brought Rachel McAdams in it, into it.
To but do what? Just play like
just make
mom
a cameo, because I believe Lindsay Lohan made a cameo. But that girl singing just fell flat. I think you should cast someone who's an actually a good singer. Next
Wait,
question.
Renee Rapp?
Renee Rapp? No, Renee Rapp was in it. And oh. Renee Rapp got famous because of the Broadway show. Renee Rapp is very talented.
Yes.
Just that, what's that girl's name? She has a very like Australian name. And I think she's great. She was great in The Mayor of Easttown, but I just thought she was not good.
The Mayor of Easttown.
Mayor
it's
of Easttown.
M-A-R-E, but is that like, is it supposed to be mayor?
Her name's Mayor.
Oh, but is she the mayor?
No.
Oh, I always thought
there's another show that also is called Mayor of Something Town that also sounds very familiar. But the Mayor of Easttown is very good. Did you ever see it?
No, but I love Kate Winslet.
Dude, Kate Winslet like nails the Baltimore accent.
The Baltimore accent.
Baltimore, like, I'm going down to the homeowners association. Like, I gotta go
the
put...
The Delco, like, Bam Margera accent?
Yeah, or like, well, that's like Westchester, New York, yeah. I think. But, like, have you ever seen Hairspray? And, like, John Travolta in Hairspray? Like, oh, Tracy Turnblad, I gotta go put my iron on. Like, oh, like, herb-a-doo. I'm just saying, for Kate Winslet...
Yeah, a British.
A incredible, yeah, just English woman to be able to pick up such a weird, specific accent that we, as our own Americans, most people are like,
yeah,
unfamiliar.
I don't even know if I know it.
The Baltimore.
Is it like dark and gritty or it's more.
I'm doing it right now for you.
No, the show.
yeah, it's dark and gritty and it's like a suburban mom who's like a part time detective and there's a murder in the town and she has her like. You know, side detective and just figuring it all out and shit hits the fan. It's actually a fantastic show.
I love Kate Winslet. My favorite role is Revolutionary Road.
I know. You know what? I've seen a long time ago, but dude, I know that's one of
rewatch.
Your favorites. We always bring it up.
It's also funny that I asked ChatGPT to give me the list of news events for each month, and in every single month they throw in like an AI related event.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, GPT, this is not make this all about you.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, AI debate art rages on. Legal and ethical questions dominate the tech discussions in March of 2024. Like, is that really one of the top five biggest events, ChatGPT?
I don't think it was a big event, but it was a very important discussion, especially in like the creative world, I think.
And then also in April, Kim Kardashian stuns at the Met Gala, breaking the internet with her look.
I don't even remember the dress.
Same. Don't know
I don't
anything
remember
that this
it.
Is talking about.
What was the theme this year?
Couldn't tell you.
But okay, can we revisit some famous memes or social media little blips? You know, very mindful, very demure.
Yes.
I really like the moment that really had as a chokehold on social media. It was something really fun to quote for about a month or two.
Yes.
And still kind of is fun to bring up.
Then
also,
there was drama around, though, that the person who created the phrase, someone else trademarked the phrase and started selling merch. And so that the original creator basically got no money from it. And posted a bunch of videos, like, really
oh,
upset
no.
and crying and was like, I wish I knew, like, how to do this better. And it sucks that I came up with something that basically, like, everyone in America is saying, but I'm making no money off of it. It's not fair. Can someone help me?
They
and then
deserve justice.
There was, like, an internet, like, thing to try and secure, oh, it's not the copyright, but the trademark and the merch, whatever. But I also do think, yeah, like, it is very cool to just see one person can... on their lunch break, just say something funny and then it can make it to a Super Bowl commercial.
Also, my other favorite little social media moment was the Four Seasons Baby.
The Four Seasons Baby?
You don't know what's about the Four Seasons Baby?
I know that there was the Four Seasons like lawnscaping.
Who wants
company.
To go to the Four Seasons Orlando? Me.
I missed this one.
Me. The little baby who like raises her hand. It's like a fully conscious baby. Like, actually listens to the mother and gets excited.
To go to the Four Seasons Orlando?
It's a mom with her probably a 2 or 3 year old daughter, the dad holding a baby and a diaper.
Okay.
Like, little baby, hardly a hair on this baby's
Fresh
head.
Fresh out of the oven.
And she goes, who wants to go to the Four Seasons Orlando? Me. And that little baby puts that finger up like, I am down. I know where we're going, and I'm excited. And ended up getting a full brand deal with the Four Seasons, treated like a total princess. Shout out to the Four Seasons, baby.
Did you see the picture about why Disneyland and Disney World? Because of LA for land and ORL?
Yes. You know what? I did not know that, but Patricia asked me that. She goes, do you know why? And I thought about it for a minute.
I don't think they knew that.
I think it's just a coincidence?
Yes, and I think someone just figured that out. There's no way for 30 years we've been just unaware, and that Disneyland or Disney World has not been
putting this out there. That or highlighting it.
I think it's one of those just weird quirks where it's like, we knew this the whole time. It's like, no.
Do you know why it's called Six Flags?
Oh, because it's Six Flags Over Texas is the original name.
Yes.
And it's because there are Texas used to be six different territories.
Owned by six different countries owned the territory of Texas.
Do you know what they look like?
I believe it was Spain. At one point, Spain owned the land. France, England, Texas itself was once its own country. The United States and, why am I blanking? The Confederacy? I don't know. I don't know what the sixth one is.
But there are six flags in their logo still, yeah?
Yes, I think so. But that's where it all originates.
What was yours called? Six Flags
Over Texas.
Oh, that's what the name of your
Six Flags Over Texas at Arlington. And then there was Six Flags Fiesta. There's Six Flags Magic Mountain out here.
We had Great Adventure.
Six Flags Great Adventure.
But we always just called it Great Adventure. Six Flags was like the corporate name for it.
Oh.
No one would be like, you're going to go to Six Flags? It'd be like, we're going to go to Great Adventure.
Was yours also like Superman themed or like, DC comics? You could ride Batman, yes. Mr. Freeze. Batman was the best, I thought.
And did you get Coke cans that gave you discounts?
Yes, they had that. Of course. You had to bring a Coke
can. An empty Coke can would give you like $10 off.
Yeah, then that was a big chunk back in the 90s.
We also had in New Jersey the tallest and fastest roller coaster in the world, King Dakar. Have you heard of this?
Really? It was the tallest?
I think it still is.
We had the Texas Titan, and I was told that was the tallest and fastest one in the world.
It might have been until ours opened up. There was like a news conference. People flew in from all over the world to be the first to ride it. It's basically just a straight shot. You go like 0 to 120 miles an hour in 3 seconds, and then it goes up, and it's the tallest roller coaster, and then it drops down, and I think they're closing it next year. I don't know. They're making way for something new, but we had the
tallest one.
That was
one
our
point.
Claim to fame.
Okay.
Yeah. King Da Ka.
I would love to compare that with the Texas Titan.
Awful name. But, okay. Oh, sorry. Let's jump to, where are we? February, January. Some of this is going to be inaccurate because it's telling me that the Met Gala thing happened in April and then also in May. So GPT, get your shit together. Dude, I've never even heard of any of these. June, the TikTok summer fashion trend, the Coastal Cowgirl. Never heard of this.
Oh, yeah. Coastal Cowgirl was like the big fashion trend to dress like. I thought it was more like
mafia wife.
Grandpa or like coastal grandpa chic. Like that was like this new kind of.
There's always some new
kind of look and stuff.
Yes. Have you seen the girl who like does the robot voice where she just rants about every. She's like, am I cat pretty or silly girl pretty? Do you want to do mob wife or this wife? And she just like says every single female trend that exists. Uh-huh. And it's just like. All the girls in the comments are like, oh my God, I just like snapped out of the Matrix because it's a full minute of just every single thing that you were like, oh yeah, that was like a thing that people were doing. Mob wife, this wife, that wife.
I'm into coastal grandmother for like interior spaces, but I think you really need to live by the beach. But coastal grandmother, I think, is like a gorgeous aesthetic. Hmm. I'm very invested in those. Did you have like a beach room at all in your house or like bathrooms? Did you have seashells in it?
Yeah, well, yeah.
And like message in a bottles or like ships in bottles, all of that stuff. We had like a lighthouse light switch.
Yes.
We're in the middle of suburban Texas.
Seashells on the light switch.
And, yes. Yeah. What are we doing here? We are in suburban Texas.
It's a little slice of vacation, you know, in your day-to-day life.
Okay.
People like to feel... I don't know what's
transported.
Connected, yeah, to some of their vacations that they went on, or we went to Cozumel and got this cute thing. Go ahead. What else you got?
I think it was a big year for music, and especially pop music in general. I think a lot of artists really showed up and dropped some incredible albums. I mean, Beyonce included with Cowboy Carter, but you know, the rise of Chapel Roan, Charlie XCX, Sabrina Carpenter, Taylor Swift doing a full-on tour, as well as dropping an album. It was just a full year of pop, and genuinely, I think good pop.
Yes.
Coming from a time where, like, we were, you know, kids or young adults of the 2010s pop, which is like my least favorite form of pop, though now people really love to revisit it. But, you know, do you know why it was so like, tonight's the night, we're gonna have fun
in 2010 of, yes, 2000 whatever,
and why that was? I feel like you told me.
Maybe.
We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor, Ghostbed. I love getting a good night's sleep. I like having a good pillow, like having a weighted blanket. I'm a little bit picky when it comes to getting a good sleep and prioritizing my sleep needs, and that's why Ghostbed is so right for me. Whether you're long with hoot and a half or winding down from a long day, great sleep sets the stage for everything, and that's why Ghostbed is the go-to mattress for those who value quality rest.
For over 20 years, Ghostbed has crafted mattresses that cater to every kind of sleeper. Back, side, or somewhere in between, Ghostbed has you covered.
And we highly recommend the Ghostbed Lux. It's perfect for hot sleepers thanks to its advanced cooling technology. And for those who need that perfect blend of support and softness, the Ghostbed Flex combines memory foam and coils to deliver just that.
This holiday season, give the gift of better sleep to yourself or someone that you care about with Ghostbed's easy mattress quiz, fast free shipping, and 101-night sleep trial. Finding the perfect mattress has never been easier or more rewarding.
And here's something to keep you smiling. Hoot and a Half listeners get an exclusive deal. 50% off site-wide. Visit ghostbed.com/hoot and use code HOOT at checkout to claim your discount.
Don't let restless nights keep you up this holiday season. Upgrade to Ghostbed today and experience sleep that's as good as your favorite podcast. Head to ghostbed.com/hoot and use code HOOT now to unlock your exclusive 50% off deal. And now, back to the episode.
A lot of that language was because it was like post-recession. And we were trying, or it was kind of during the recession, that's why the lyrics of that time were in a way repetitive and like aggressively cliche, was because it was just a reaction to the financial crisis during that
time. And just trying to get people to feel better about life. Like just
I got a feeling.
Yeah, the Black Eyed Peas just dominated.
Black Eyed Peas, and Katy Perry.
Pharrell, Happy, and Justin Timberlake.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All of that. And but I think this year was a year for like just grittier, refreshing pop,
and a lot of like women-based pop artists. I think
exactly
dominated, yeah, completely. Which is really nice. Instead of just
no, it was a true dream team of pop, and I love that Lorde and Charlie worked it out on the remix. You know, that was
we were all concerned that they weren't going to be able to, but they did in fact work it out on the remix.
Yeah, because for the last couple of years, she's been at war with her body.
This GPT thing has got to be incorrect.
Oh boy.
It says in June that Taylor Swift ended her Eras tour, but didn't it just end this week?
Yeah, I think so, but then I feel like it's still going.
No, I think this was the final.
Oh gosh, don't tell Patricia that. I think that was honestly one of my biggest regrets, was not splurging and buying those tickets.
You didn't see any of the Eras tours?
I've seen it on Disney Plus.
I thought you and Patricia. Oh, that was Harry Styles.
It was Harry Styles, and that was like kind of our agreement because I had to throw down some money for Harry Styles and then did not do it for Taylor, which I feel bad. I feel like I always regret it, but hey, at least we get a really great video concert footage of that on Disney.
Do you remember the writer's strike?
Sure, I do remember the writer's strike. Absolutely, which is now over.
Yes.
And it was writers and actors, too.
There was an actor strike, but I think the writer's strike went on longer. I used to drive by it all the time because it was right by...
But I still feel like they still have a lot of work to do.
Yes, but
people are still not getting hired as much as they used to, especially even like studio workers as well. Like PAs and stuff who are working on sets just are struggling to make ends meet because the way they make movies now is just not the same.
And TV shows too, like people are just not watching, you know, whatever random show on ABC Family at Tuesdays at 7 p.m.
It even sucks like with the film festivals as well. You know, Sundance just announced like who's getting into Sundance and They are now only really accepting like half the submissions as they used to in the past. But even if you get into Sundance, the odds of you still getting bought by a distributor is not as strong as it once was, because distributors now are so hesitant about the gamble of if that project will make them their money or not. So Mark Duplass just had a really great TikTok about it, just saying, you know, we just need more disruptors. We need people just to continue to enter as many festivals as you can to get more people excited about your work.
Yeah. I mean, just thinking about how many people are watching things other than movies now, people are just not, it's so easy to just open up a podcast on YouTube or watch TikTok for 3 hours on your phone instead of picking a movie.
Just make the sets brighter. I want brighter looking movies. Why do movies just look like they're shot on this, I don't know.
Yeah, everything's really
dark. Little LCD screen.
It's impossible to hear what they're saying. Like the
just get more lighting on set. I know that they have these, you know, like a backdrop where, you know, in front of right now, and they have these massive rooms where they're able to like project all these different types of sets, but just get the lighting better. I want cozy, adorable shot movies. I feel like Greta Gerwig and Little Women was the only one who fucking nailed it, and everything else, I'm like, it's
Barbie
not warm
was,
enough.
Barbie was really well lit.
Barbie was very well lit, very
although
saturated.
Apparently Wicked was not that well lit.
I haven't seen it. I might see it tonight if I have time, but
someone like Cooper Rafe making a cha-cha real smooth. That's
absolutely
what we need more of.
I'm excited to see what he's working on next.
I think he got some deal with like a production company, right? To do more stuff.
Oh, well.
Big fan of his.
I also love the rise of cult followings of animals all across the different zoos in the world. It was a big year for Mudang the hippo.
Oh, yes.
Mudang the hippo, and as well as Pesto the penguin.
Oh, though I don't know about Pesto.
I heard Pesto was a penguin in, I want to say maybe Canada.
Mudang just was, it was just because it was a baby hippo.
Baby hippo with a lot of attitude and really feisty and loved his hose.
His hose?
Yeah, he loves the hose.
I thought you meant
but
like...
But and then Pesto was the penguin who, you know, had not grown into his full feathers yet and was just this fuzzy brown penguin that was kind of the odd black sheep of his entire,
a flock?
Pack of penguin, a flock of penguins.
Or is it a suit of penguins? What do they call it? A tuxedo of penguins.
A tuxedo of penguins. Well, he hadn't fully grown in his tuxedo. Mostly looked like he was wearing a fur jacket. But last update I got on Pesto was that he was hitting puberty and kind of growing out of his furry little coat. So,
were there any other big animals in the... that wasn't this year. The guy with his dog Bones or No Bones Day. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Bones, No Bones Day. But it was a big year for pugs, though, because the pug did win the Westminster Dog Show. Vito the pug.
A pug?
A pug won the Westminster Dog Show. I think the first time it's won best in show.
Did it look like a regular pug that was just like struggling to breathe? And
it did look like a very happy, well-groomed pug that had not fully hit its later years. I used to love pugs. I think
so did
pugs
I.
Get, they're the one dog when the older they get, the cuter they kind of become as well. Yes, they're struggling to breathe. Yes, they grunt and are just hanging on there, but that's part of the charm.
That was in Men in Black, right? That was the main dog that was talking was a pug? In the very first Men in Black with the universe around his neck.
It was like a chihuahua.
No, I thought it was a pug.
Okay, maybe it was a pug. No, you're right.
I don't know. But also, yeah, those and the French bulldogs, like I used to think those were the best.
Frenchies were like everybody when I first moved to LA 10 years ago, everybody had a Frenchie. People were obsessed with Frenchies, and I do love a Frenchie, but I feel like, I don't know, they've kind of had their moment. And especially after Lady Gaga's Frenchies got kidnapped. People got a little scared about owning them.
They just don't, I don't know. They seem like a different, those like little smushed ball animals. They don't seem like a dog.
I don't like white little Maltese dogs, like the little, you know.
Yeah.
Paris Hilton had chihuahuas, but just like purse dogs.
Yes.
That just like yap and are white and just.
And then you'll see like a nice, like, I don't know, like what Patricia's dogs are. Just
yes,
like a
an
nice,
English cream retriever. Those
just
are
a nice big dog.
But I also think golden retrievers are gorgeous dogs, the best dogs. But when they get older, they kind of, they start getting their white and start graying out and they look a little sad. Same thing with labs. Like those don't age that well. But I think golden doodles and stuff, those.
The doodles are, that's I think the new one that's just a little much where they all have those eyes.
It's always that friend from high school gets married, they had a baby, and what's the first dog they get? A golden doodle.
Yep.
And they name it Daisy or Sadie. It's something like that. Daisy and Sadie.
Yeah.
Bring back border collies. Where are the border collies
Australian
at? And call
Shepherd.
Them Lassie. I don't care how basic of a name you get it. I would love to see a border collie because I feel like I see one once a year.
Or just Australian Shepherd or Rottweiler.
Great
or
dogs.
What do we do? Like a Doberman. Just like your classic dogs.
Or rescue a dog too.
Well,
regardless
sure,
of its breed.
But we're saying the people who are going to go and buy these designer dogs.
Yeah.
Like these things used to be wolves. And now it's like it fits in your purse. I don't know, man. September, Apple's iPhone 16 release.
And was there anything that new about it?
I mean,
not really.
I'm still on the 13 or 14.
Do you like the AI feature, this Apple AI
bit? I'm still on iOS 17. I haven't updated.
I do kind of like that they give me a highlight sum up of what a conversation's been having or what like a text message combo, it'll kind of like sum up what this person was saying.
Does it do that for me when I text
you? Yeah, so when you're telling me, hey, we got to post and make this real by this deadline, it filters out like all your nonsense. But no, it just gets to the gist of what you were saying. And so I'm like, oh, Mike's texting me about that. I know what I'm getting into before I open up the whole thread and have to like sit with it.
Does it do that for everybody that texts you or just when it's like a longer thing?
When it's a longer thing, for sure. I do like that. The one thing I wish they would figure out is I don't get it. If someone is sending me a link, maybe it's an Instagram link, and I click on that link, why am I getting sent
to the App Store? I know.
And then I'm like, okay, well, I have the app and I'm opening up the app and then I'm not directed to the link I have. So then I got to go cycle back through this until the phone somehow figures it out, or I just have to be like, fuck it, copy, paste, put it in
the
Safari,
browser,
and then
scroll down, hit open, and
see whatever it is you're showing me. Apple, figure that out, okay? It's just A to C, but why am I going back to B and never getting around to C?
Are you using the extra button and the action button?
I use it for camera.
Do you notice
that? I think there's this big AI glow that happens around sometimes, and I go, I don't know what's happening here.
And with like the switch, do you miss the switch?
Sometimes, I mean, I had to like figure out like silent mode, but then it was like truly silencing everything. The only thing that sound will go on is if somebody calls me. Vibrates for everything else. The only sound that will come through is my alarm and for a phone. But I'm happy with it.
Yeah. I don't really. I'm still not even on
iOS
18.
Sometimes when I get a new phone, I have to change the wallpaper to remind myself that this is a new phone. It's like, I think it's great that you're able to upload everything to a cloud and you get your old phone back, all of that, but it's just, I need to feel like it is a new phone and
that
I have to change the wallpaper.
That's like a life pro tip you'll see on Reddit is just change your phone background if you want to feel like you got a new phone.
I do it seasonally. I usually always change my wallpaper to a Peanuts.
You are pretty good about that.
Charlie Brown kind of thing, and that's my go-to.
You are pretty good about...
What's your phone wallpaper?
It's the planets.
Oh.
Where they are.
Yeah. Are you like, oh, wow, the Saturn is here now when it was over there a couple months ago? Do you screenshot it to kind of see how the year goes?
No, well, Saturn just takes like forever to go around, so it's kind of always just in the same location. But I like to know where Earth is relative to the other planets, so when I look out at night, I'm like, oh, that's definitely Venus or Saturn we're not going to see for about another year.
Okay.
Have you heard about these drones flying around New Jersey?
No.
So interesting, because I'm on like the New Jersey subreddit, and my family's still there, and friends are still there. Over the past like 2 months, there have been, right when it gets dark out, hundreds of drones in the sky that are massive and flying in formation all over the state. Hundreds of people reporting. Mayors are talking about it. The governor has said, can the FBI please help us? And the FBI says, we're looking into it. And there's just no answers. Nobody's making claims for what it is.
Is it Amazon just testing out like a new delivery system and getting the routes down?
But it's only at night, and you could see, like, my friend sent me videos. It's insane. They're like, some of them look like they're the size of like an SUV. It's like a car size drone. Some of them are X-shaped. Some of them are like 10 in a row, and they're just for hours at night.
Do you know if there's a law that if you see a drone in a no drone fly zone, do you have the right to shoot it down?
I don't think you as a citizen do.
But with like, I'm talking about like a rubber bullet gun. If I'm on my property and this is a no drone fly zone and you're flying over my house, I feel like I have the right
to
shoot it.
I do believe like property rights extend up to the sky. So like if there is something overhead in your property, I think your property rights go to the sky.
Like, so what is Disney? I know Disney is a no-fly zone. You cannot fly over Disney. What happens when someone flies a drone over Disney? Disney have like some
gotta
Glocks
get our anti-drone.
On deck?
We got
just getting shot down by Donald the Duck.
Well, I think there's like netting. There's netting you can shoot, which is like it just spreads a net so that the propellers get caught and then it falls. There's GPS jammers that you can like shoot it so the tracking gets messed up. Or I don't know. I don't really. It's kind of scary that we don't have like anti-drone technology at our fingertips. But
I love to shoot down a drone.
Me
and,
too.
And someone comes up and is just like, "Hey, do my drone." I'm like, "You shouldn't have flown it over here, bud."
Yes, I want to see what it is. But it's like
I don't know if I would even touch it.
If you would touch a random
drone,
person's
I don't
drone.
Know. I would just like.
Let me see if I could pull up a video for you. But did you find out, by the way, if you're coming to my game night on Friday night?
Mike, we have another occasion. You kind of planned this one a little too late.
I planned it a week out.
We'll do something for Hanukkah.
You're not coming at all.
No.
Is that what you're telling me?
It's because we're going a whole separate direction. You are in Studio City, and I got to go to Culver City.
For who? We'll talk about it after. That's so disappointing.
Mike. Oh, these are light up drones
too.
Yeah,
they're proper drones.
For the people listening, Mike's showing me a video.
Yeah, I'm showing
of
you
it.
Some videos
and so
of drones.
They want you to see them.
They have
all
the lights
for like
on
Amazon
them.
Doing delivery drones, but only in areas where it's hard for people to get
like
a delivery truck.
Areas.
Like I really don't want like a drone
in LA
in our neighborhood. To
no,
and like zooming around.
But
all
if you
the
live
time
up on a mountain in the middle of nowhere, where you get mail once a month.
Drone up gives people jobs too.
Doesn't
I don't know drone operators. I feel at least some person should be kind of watching and making sure they know what they're doing.
I guess we don't really. I'm still skeeved out by the auto
Uber robots and all of that. I think they're adorable. I do like the look of them.
I am shocked.
There's a little
how,
too many.
Yeah,
I snapped at a teenager the other day.
Why?
Because he was like walking with this girl, and the little Uber robot went by, and he grabbed the flag and then just was started bending it down, like just to fuck with it. And I said, "Hey, leave it alone." He was like, "Oh, okay."
So you're on the side of the machines?
I just snapped at him. I don't know. I had a couple glasses of wine walking out of a restaurant.
They just take up so much space, and those are taking away jobs from people.
I think the bird scooters take up too much space. These are just like innocent things. I believe that should actually be someone else's job. Like
what? Driving the delivery?
Just have someone who's just on foot or on their bike delivering something. Why do we need to have
Does
a bunch of robots around?
Does this happen in other
around?
Cities? Like, is this in New York? Is it in
every
just
time
in Los
a friend
Angeles?
Visits L.A.? I don't know. I bet it doesn't happen in New York, though. You guys have way too many pedestrians to for that to happen. But people are always shocked every time when they visit. They're like, oh, my gosh.
I'm shocked that there aren't more just videos of these things running into traffic, running over people. Like, to give credit, they are pretty... They seem to be pretty good at like stopping at crosswalks and not running into people. But what do you do have you ever gotten a delivery with one?
No, I only use DoorDash.
Like, I guess you have to go down and meet it and then type in a code and get your food out of there?
Yeah. I think it also sees you.
Oh, it's using like identification?
I've never seen a keypad on them or anything.
Does it give you the option when you're picking
Probably.
Your order to
Maybe
do
it's
robo
also
drone?
Like a little RFID chip and you just like kind of scan your phone on top of it and then it opens up.
I bought an RFID duplicator on Amazon for my building.
Okay.
We're going to see if it works.
What's it called? Is it the orange looking one?
It's like $15 and because I have a key fob to get into the garage in the building and they only gave me one because I'm the only person. But I want to have one in my car, have one in my wallet, have one on my keys.
Yeah.
So... We'll see.
I've seen those like ones that are like, it's an orange little stick. There's like a little dinosaur on it. It's like an ultimate like hacker tool. And people will like go into a sports bar or whatever and like start changing all the channels and stuff. And like,
no, this you have to like, it's like a $15 thing. You put it right up to the one you want to copy. So it's like.
It's like beep. A hotel, like how they make hotel cards.
Yes, exactly.
Key cards
Very
and all
low
that.
Grade technology. It's not like I'm stealing credit card information or anything like that.
Okay. I also like learned that, you know, airplane mode, like you got to turn your phone into airplane mode when you're on an airplane.
Yeah.
That's like a real like kind of serious thing. Or like pilots will say if at least like 10 people do not have like their airplane mode on and those phones are receiving signals, they can hear like a mosquito buzzing sound in their headset.
Where did you hear this?
From a pilot.
We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor, Diet Smoke. The holidays are here and what a better time to treat yourself or find a gift people will actually love. That's why we're so excited to tell you about Diet Smoke. They've got award-winning gummies, vapes, and pre-rolls that make it easy to relax, unwind, and find that perfect vibe without going overboard. One of their standout products is the new Acapulco Gold Gummies. These little gems are smooth, uplifting, and just what you need to brighten your holiday mood. They're also the perfect gift for anyone who could use a little boost this season. Here's why Diet Smoke is the ultimate holiday go-to. They have something for everyone, from gummies to vapes to pre-rolls. They've got a vibe for every personality. They have fast and reliable shipping. You can get your order in as little as 48 hours, which is perfect for last-minute shoppers like us. And guaranteed happiness with their lifetime happiness guarantee. If you're not satisfied, they'll make it right, no questions asked. Now here's the best part. Just for Hoot and a Half listeners, Diet Smoke is offering a $50 welcome gift plus 20% off your entire order this holiday season. All you have to do is head over to dietsmoke.com and use code Hoot, H-O-O-T, at checkout. So whether you're treating yourself or looking for a gift that's actually going to impress, Diet Smoke has you covered. Go check it out and you'll thank us later. Now back to the episode.
On TikTok.
A pilot on TikTok?
Yeah, he was saying, yeah. He goes, obviously, like, there's not going to be a huge disaster. It's not going to bring down the plane, but those radio waves will interfere the radio waves that we need to have and can cause, like, slight distortion. Not to the point of, like, I can't hear a thing because everybody's phones are not on airplane mode, but it does cause distortion in their headsets.
I remember seeing or reading some, it might have been, like, Penn and Teller doing Mythbusters or Hank Green or someone. The whole idea of silencing your cell phones or it was originally turn off your cell phones. You can't have any electronics on. But the reason why is because they just wanted people to focus on the safety presentation.
Oh.
And that was a way to get people to not look at their phones because they realized that nobody was looking at the safety presentation. A lot of first-time flyers. And they need to make sure that people know where the exits are, how to use the seatbelt, which is like, okay, who hasn't been a car? It hasn't been in a car since 1956. Jerry Seinfeld joke. It's just like they made this idea up and scared people into thinking that airplane mode, if your phone's on, it's going to disrupt it. Like, no, it's all different frequencies, all different radios.
I just don't understand the graphics and the safety manuals. Like, this is it seems like an updated graphic, an updated, you know, safety manual.
Yeah.
But when I look down at, like, forbidden items, we got, I swear, it's like a 1990s Walkman, like a yellow CD player, and it's just...
Oh, for the things that you have to turn off?
I swear, it's a fucking flip phone.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm like, update these.
They want you to just pay attention to the safety video.
Graphics.
The first time I did not turn my phone off on a flight, I was like, I'm just leaving it on full service, not even turning on SOS mode, leaving the Wi-Fi on, and I'm just going to see what happens as they take off. Like, are they going to stop the plane because my phone
right when the plane's landing, and if I can, like, see a person, like, on a sidewalk, I'm at that distance, sometimes I'll, like, get off airplane mode and just...
I probably...
start getting some texts.
Usually just turn on airplane mode because it saves a lot of battery. And if you don't put on airplane mode, it's always like searching for service and burning your battery up. But sometimes, like, I've taken a short flight. Like, when I did, like, a flight in Greece from one island to the other, I was like, I wonder if I'll just still have service because it doesn't go to the full 35,000 feet. And I just had regular LTE during a flight. Yeah. And I was like, this is amazing.
Free Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
One thing I learned about was elevators recently, and I know you don't ride in elevators. You know how though there is an open and a closed door button?
Yeah.
Most of the time, the closed door button doesn't close the doors. That's... because of the American Disabilities Act, they crack down on elevators. And any elevator made after 1990, that closed door button should not be able to close the doors because they need that the doors to stay open at least for like an appropriate amount of time for people who are disabled to enter and get off of the elevator. So a lot of times that button does not do anything. They just have it there to make you think that it does something. But if you're in an elevator and it actually does work, most likely the elevator is from pre-1990.
I don't know if that's true because I've seen another thing that I tried out years ago that if you're ever in an elevator, like in a very busy hotel, and if let's say you're on, I don't know, the 30th floor and you want to get to the first floor, on your way down, it's going to stop and collect everybody else on the way down. But if you just press and hold the first floor and the elevator door closed button and you hold that for like, I don't know, 5 or 10 seconds, it skips all the other floors and just goes directly down to your floor.
Hopefully that you should do that if you already know that the elevator is full. I think you're an ass if you do that.
Yeah, it's a little bit of an unethical life pro tip, but that's why I'm not sure, because I tried it and it worked. Now, maybe it was a fluke, but that's why I'm like, I think the door close button might have some functionality. It might just be that it only works after, you know, the 15 seconds of door open.
But when I'm like in like a Vegas hotel where there's like 8, 9, 10 elevators all around, and I think about the system, the computer system that has to juggle which elevator is going to pick up which people, it stresses me out. Where I'm like, thank goodness I'm not the elevator. And I couldn't have the brain to figure that out.
Or
how can you accommodate and get to everybody by going up and down?
Certain
up
elevators,
and down?
Like you go to the left side for floors 1 through 30 and the right side for floors 30 through 60. So it's like in New York, a lot of buildings will do this where if they're super tall, certain elevators, they start at floor 30. So you skip the first 30 floors and then you just feel like the gravity.
Your ears like pop.
Oh my God. Nightmare. Thank God I don't have to deal with elevators anymore. That is. No, thank you. Let's keep going.
Yes, you know what I did last night?
No.
This is a fun thing. I haven't like shared it because I'm like working on the video for it. I started the Home Alone Lego set.
Okay, that's pretty fun.
Guess how many pieces this Lego set is?
1,600.
4,000.
4,000.
About like 3,900 pieces.
Who got this for you?
My brother-in-law did. He got it for me Christmas of last year as a surprise gift. Went over budget for me, but I gave him like a PS5 as like a thank you because I couldn't believe that he got this for me. He got it on eBay. The package was like, I think it had been opened, but nobody had ever like started the set.
Okay.
When was the last time you've built a Lego?
Sam got me the Seinfeld Lego set like 2 years ago, and I'm about halfway done building it. It's incredibly fun.
You're only halfway? I thought you finished it.
No, I took a little bit of a break because I was moving and I didn't want to like, it wasn't ready before I moved, so I just put it all back and then like had to take some of it apart. But
Legos are incredible. I mean, it takes some true engineering on how they figured out how the foundation, all of it, and the Lego house is so detailed. I mean, it has like the furnace. It has like the Michael Jordan cutout dancing on the choo-choo train around the Christmas tree. Meanwhile, the record player is moving and all of that. I'm just like incredibly impressed with it. But yeah, it's really badass.
It feels also just like you're like completing a work of art when you finish the thing. You're like, oh.
The one thing that crushes me about Legos is that, you know, they come in like the way this Lego is 4,000 pieces, but in like 26 little mini packs.
Yes.
So you have to open up each pack at a time, work on that thing, and you move on and go to the next pack. But when you're done building that thing, there's no way that you could ever rebuild that with all those pieces.
No, it's one and done.
So once you make the Lego, you got to kind of just like keep it.
It's now a display piece. Yeah.
Unless you give it to a Lego enthusiast who just wants to have all the Legos and actually try it, because they do have like these Lego filter. It's almost like a big plastic, like long box, and you dump all the Legos in and they all fall through the holes and they're able to figure out the right sizing of all the Legos.
I mean, once it's built, that's like a little display piece in your office or whatever. But Legos apparently are a very hot commodity where people pay a big premium for the special releases, and there was a string of like robberies from Lego stores because people are flipping them and making thousands of dollars. And if you bought, I think, something like, I don't know, the top 30 Lego sets and just held on to them for like 2 years or something, you could have doubled your money because the Lego collecting community is very passionate.
Yes. So I guess that's what I'm going to do.
I thought about doing that, just like starting, but I don't want to be a Lego.
What's really cool, I love the design of the instructions for the Home Alone one because it's like Kevin McAllister's battle plan. Like, you know, the map.
Oh, they made the book.
The book like looks like his battle plan and stuff. But yeah, it takes like 15 hours, but I managed to do like.
It's also such a nice hobby where you're using your brain and your eyes and your hands.
Yes.
You cannot do anything else when you're doing Lego. You can't be like scrolling on TikTok.
I feel like a savant doing Legos, though.
Yes.
Like my brain thinks like the Lego set. I'm able to like identify the pieces really fast.
It's amazing.
I tried to get Patricia to do it, and I was like, you know what? No. Like, babe, just step aside. I got this handled.
There is a level where you have to go from like, I fucking hate this. I have no idea what they're talking about. What does this mean? And then after you start to do a couple, it's like IKEA. Like once you understand the language and the verbiage, yes. You're like, oh.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, yes.
You have to like think like the Lego set. And the Lego set is never wrong. There were times where I'm like, where's this piece?
Yes, I know.
This must be a misprint. I'm yeah. like, fuck, they got it it's right again.
It's never a misprint. It's never a misprint.
I did mess up on one part and I'm like kind of struggling with it where the door opens up.
Oh, and you got to reset. Sometimes.
I got to one point and I'm like, I think I put a wrong brown thing on thing and
it's just a good life lesson.
Then they give you like, at the end of the pack, there's still these like leftover pieces, and I can't tell are those like if you lost one or did I not place one in the right place? Because I feel like I did it brick by brick.
Did you take the steps backwards when you realized you messed up?
Yeah, I did a few times, but this I got when I go back and fix it.
So I feel like it's also a good just like life lesson where you're like, okay, this is sometimes how life goes.
Yes.
I thought I got to a specific destination, but now I need to dismantle the work I did. Rebuild it, and now I learned something. And it's like a good. I should bust that Seinfeld Lego set back out and start building
it again.
Dude,
it's so nice,
and it's like therapeutic. You put on a little music, and you're
just. I was listening to an audiobook. I was just
what audiobook?
Intermezzo by Sally Rooney. It was our book club book, buddy. I hate it, and I'm reading it. I'm because I want to get it done so I can start reading other things.
Yeah,
and I'm just audiobooking it. Sue me. It wasn't my pick in the book club, and the book club didn't read my last book. Third
Is
time
it still
done
the same
it.
Group of people?
Yeah. Connor Franta, Will Derbyshire, my little brother Kevin, and I don't think any of them have even started.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I'm always like, halfway. Where's everyone else? Nothing. I'm sending memes about the book. Nothing. I'm just going to guilt trip them.
I really
like,
got in and out from my favorite book, and that was great.
I just want to get to the other books I want to read.
That's very fair.
Very fair.
I love Audible, though. It is.
It's really great. How fast of a speed can you go when you listen to something?
It depends on the book, but I try to pick books that I want to listen at 1x speed because I want to hear.
Oh, that takes some time. I can do 1.7.
It depends on the book. If it's just like a, I don't know, like Malcolm Gladwell's new book, 7.5 hours, but I tried to listen a little bit faster, but I like the way that he builds suspense
just
in a story.
Just really soak it in.
You know, and that's why Harvard is our next culprit. And it's like, I want to live in the suspense. And 7 hours sounds like a drag. You do 30 minutes a day, you're done in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's like not that hard. While I'm making my coffee, little Malcolm Gladwell, the most interesting thing from his new book,
that
did you know?
Tell me.
I mean, a little dark, but apparently the Holocaust was not a big thing until this TV show with Meryl Streep in the 70s. And if he went through and found history books from like the 50s and the 60s, and the word Holocaust didn't exist. They didn't talk about it. There's like one line that says the atrocities of the Germans, whatever. And nobody knew what was happening.
They didn't have like a name for it.
They didn't have a name for it. They didn't have museums for it. They didn't teach it in school. Some TV executive who they made this like mini series about this family in Germany, and it was going to be called like the Weiss family. And the like producer at the network was like, fuck that. That's like a terrible name. No one's going to watch something called the Weiss family. Call it what we found the name of it was, which was the Holocaust.
What does Holocaust mean?
I think it just means like burning by fire or something. It's like
a
dark.
Is it a German word or?
No, it's an English word.
Okay.
But it's just like, so interesting that there was just this thing that didn't have a name, and then by giving it a name,
yeah,
it changed how people thought about it.
I'm not trying to compare the Holocaust to the Mona Lisa, but the Mona Lisa has like an interesting story like that, where if you go around and ask anybody now today, what's the most famous painting like ever? People go,
right.
The Mona Lisa.
Right.
But if you went back hundreds of years ago, Mona Lisa had been out for like a couple hundred years.
Yeah.
And ask them what the most famous painting is. No one even knew about the Mona Lisa.
It had like a late
stage. It had this like late rebirth where through pop culture, through media and everything, and stories of it getting stolen and how it became this rare piece and its placement in the museum, that's what made it really culturally significant. But nobody, when the Mona Lisa was out, people weren't like, oh my God, have you seen the Mona Lisa?
Oh, it wasn't the thing.
Oh my God, it's just the most realistic painting of this girl half smiling at me.
Yeah.
Like,
it's not, at the time, it was not.
And it makes you wonder, like, what do we have like around now that we think nothing of, but in hundreds of years, people will be talking about.
Yes.
That we are living witnesses of.
That's why I like his books, because he'll just like find something that we didn't even consider. Like the opioid crisis is all linked to some bureaucratic way that they had to file prescription orders. And in certain states, they had to write their prescription orders three times, once in the doctor's office, once in the state's office, and like once for a backup.
I missed the beginning.
The opioid crisis. Okay. Another example in his book is like the opioid crisis is basically a bureaucratic decision that certain states, if you were a doctor and you wrote a prescription, certain states were like, just write the prescription.
What year are we talking about? When it
like
was
in the 90s?
Okay.
Early couple of years, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. And then other states, you had to write your prescription three times. So there would be a copy in your office, a copy in like the state's office, and then a backup somewhere else. I can't remember exactly. But in the states where there was just one prescription, that's where the opioid crisis exploded because doctors didn't feel this pressure of like...
Which states were... What type of states were the ones that had like a better system?
The system where you had to write three, where there'd be like in your state like office, those doctors were much less likely to write willy-nilly opioid prescriptions because there was an extra like tracing it back to say, okay, this doctor wrote 100 prescriptions for like these opiates that now people have a problem with. But in the states where you just, man, it was just between you and your guy, that's where the op- and it's just like, he's like, this whole thing is just some bureaucratic decision about whether or not you have to write your prescription three times or one time. And if we would have changed, if it would have been applied to all of the states, we would have seen like hundreds of thousands of less
deaths. Are doctors still writing prescriptions in the same way they used to from, I don't know, my memory? You write it on just a prescription pad, right?
Now, yes, but there's also like a full digital database.
Yeah, that's how I do all my prescriptions.
Schedule 2. It's like they're in the past like 10 years or so with the Purdue like lawsuit and all this other stuff, there's been a lot of changes, which are good. But
I do know that like there are a substantial amount of deaths that happen every year from miss or bad handwriting on behalf of doctors when it comes to prescriptions, like 2x times a day at these times or whatever. Like doctors' handwritings are just bad.
Yes.
And by writing them on, you know, this only piece of paper that verifies the prescription, there's error that comes with it.
Yeah.
And it's like, why isn't there like a verified a Scantron?
Right.
Like where it is bubble letters where they are putting the exact letter and dosage 100%. And filling out the bubble for something that is so vital and key to your health. And,
well, that's the idea is that these other states where you had to write it three times meant that you had a failsafe and a backup to know what you were doing.
Wow.
The book is really interesting. So I'd rather, you know, listen to that at 1x speed.
Yes.
But I'm trying to think of like a book. I mean, like when I was reading that fucking Snowman book.
That was a good book.
2x was not fast enough. Get me out of here. I don't care about this guy.
Okay.
Let's see what else happened here. Or do you have any other?
Oh, I really loved Ray Gun at the Olympics.
Okay. Say more.
Well, you know, Ray Gunn was the Australian breakdancer who, in a way, kind of like fully embarrassed herself in the entire country of Australia. And in a way, people say she manipulated getting herself into the Olympics. She was a professor whose specialty was studying dance. Her boyfriend, like, was like the host of making sure the breakdance trials in Australia.
Oh.
She ended up getting it. And it was just really bad dance moves, a total meme, but in a way the funniest thing I've ever seen. She said she retired from breakdancing, and then she made a surprise appearance at Tones and I's show, I think, in Australia. It did the kangaroo. And apparently someone wanted to make Ray Dunn the musical. Ray Gunn the musical. And her team is saying, no, that's like our story, our copyright. You can't do it. And she owns the kangaroo dance move.
Oh, so now she's trying to like...
She's embarrassing herself. But I'm just so invested in the Ray Gunn lore. Has she
done any interviews talking about...
Yeah. Yeah. And it's more like pity me because I'm just getting harassed and bullied for my dance moves.
Is she aware that she...
Is a meme?
Well, like doesn't belong or like shouldn't have been
in the
Olympics.
I think that's what hurts her the most.
She's not ironic about it. She's not like playing into like,
she should be.
But the thing is,
it's like, yes, she can break dance. She's just not a good one. But
she made it to the Olympics.
And you made it to the Olympics.
Yeah.
And I don't think, you know, that's just her style. And her style was pretty cringe. But, you know, everybody does different dance moves. She looked insanely uncool.
But she's not leaning into the like, I know that this is insane that I got. She feels like she should be
yes
where she's at, and she is a good dancer, and she believes that she's Olympic worthy. She's not Like, yeah, this is fucking nuts. What are you kidding me? I'm in the Olympics.
I think because she just doesn't want like them to take away any sense of...
But she didn't win anything, did she?
No.
She didn't win gold.
I don't think she got... Yeah, she did like all five rounds of prelims and did not even make it into quarters.
It's a little tough when
and
you're...
And now breakdancing will not be an event. I don't think it's because of her. I think it switches by whatever country is hosting it.
What? There, I just saw some video, some sport, now I can't remember, that was like a good sport that's not in the Olympics. And people were like, why is this not in the Olympics, what breakdancing is?
Sumo?
No. It was some physical...
Wrestling?
No. Maybe it was like ballet or something.
Okay. The ballet should be allowed. I mean, figure skating is basically ballet on skates.
I was going to say gymnastics, but that's obviously the best
one. Figure skating is unbelievable, and I don't think it is talked about enough.
Is it in the Olympics, figure skating?
Winter Olympics.
It is in the Winter Olympics. I can't remember what it was. I saw some video of just incredible... Anyway.
Do you know anything about like the rules of back in the day with Olympics is that you could not be a professional in your own country of that sport and be in the Olympics?
I think they do that still for hockey. They don't let... Yeah, there's something like that where you can't be a pro and be in the Olympics.
It was a big deal for like the Dream Team when like Michael Jordan and all the best players were representing on the U.S. team. That's why it was a big deal for the 80s Miracle Winter Olympics where they played Russia.
Right.
Because a lot of those were just like college kids, high school kids just playing to go against one of the biggest global powers.
Yeah. That's a good question.
But now it's
remember.
Not like that anymore. Anybody can do it.
I think in some places it might still be the case, but it should be the same.
But you could
the
compete,
board.
I think, though, for Israel if you wanted to.
Yeah, or the U.S., but.
Yeah, but because your dad is from there.
Yes.
Yes.
But I don't know that. I don't know that, like, if you're a professional, you can't play in a specific sport.
No, I think it's all open. Anybody can
for
do
anybody.
It now. But I think, though, I know American Idol is like a little strict on that, too, where, you know, anybody on Broadway could just join
American Idol
and kill it. People on Broadway are not having
You can't be a professional musician. Like, you can't be making money.
But I think you can be a touring Broadway performer because Adam Lambert was in touring Broadway and entered American Idol.
Are people still watching American Idol? I guess they are.
Yeah, my in-laws. They love American Idol.
Really?
Yes. What I hate about American Idol, now the judges don't even say any criticism towards them. Because there's not like Simon Cowell being sassy anymore. They're just like, good effort, good energy, hope America picks you. It's the same shit every time. But man, that is a job. If I was a celebrity, just to be a judge on a show, easy money.
You'd want to do that?
Oh, yeah. Well, you're telling me I'm going to get paid $14 million a year for me just to sit there and watch another person perform and me to be like, good work.
It's just all your cool fit. Like Chance the Rapper is on whatever X Factor. It's just like your cool factor just goes way the fuck down.
Can we get rid of the heart stories, though? I think anybody talented deserves to be on those stage. It seems like they have to seek out somebody whose mom is battling some type of illness, or this person has like this thing wrong with their family life, or that they grew up this way, blah, blah, blah. They find those people to milk that to make good TV.
Of course.
When some people, I think, are just generically talented and just should have their moment.
Right.
They don't need a sob story.
But that's not. But people, that's what people want to see. It's the tale as old as time, rags to riches. They want to see someone who needs this.
Yeah,
and that makes you more invested in it. They got to manufacture the drama. Infinite Jest, David Foster Wallace.
Yep, that's it. This all comes back to Infinite Jest.
Did you ever finish it?
No, I only read like a third of it.
Oh,
then I realized that I read it wrong.
What does that mean?
Because Infinite Jest, for the people who don't know, it's David Foster Wallace's like big mammoth magnum opus of a book, hailed as one of the greatest novels of the past, I don't know, 30 years. There's footnotes in it. And I thought the footnotes were just like weird little definitions of like the words, but the footnotes also expand on like complete important stories and passages that are integral to the book.
Did you get up to the part about a videotape of some kind?
Yes. Well, yeah, that's what, that there is, the whole plot of the book is that there's this videotape, and apparently it's so entertaining, by the moment you watch it, you will, like, cease to even want to exist.
Yeah, and you just stop taking care of yourself. And
basically just the TikTok algorithm.
That's, yeah, I saw a girl who was saying that, like, we basically now live in infinite jest where there's just something that...
David Foster Wallace predicted, like, so many things that are, like, ring true to this day, too. Like, there's... like the way we use beauty filters and avatar like filters on our faces and stuff when we're doing TikToks or whatever, he said that that was like this, like you had to, I don't know, in a way put on this like digital mask when you're interacting with people online, and people are obsessed about wearing these like filters and stuff over their faces to enhance their beauty.
Maybe I'll give that audiobook a listen. Or what do you think it'd be difficult to listen to on audiobook?
I bet it would be. I see. I don't know how you would be able to read it. I was just thinking about this the other day. It does exist on audiobook, but the footnotes. Does the audiobook go all the way back to the footnotes and then read that and then go pick up back where
there's
it's
at? There's footnotes on like that many pages? Is yeah. there a lot of them?
Dude, it's like, it's massive. Like,
and it's just made section. Up words that he's making up in the book?
It's like his own little mini Wikipedia over like certain phrases, and to give you more context about the universe that they're in. I mean, it's like our universe, but it's set like in this weird distant future. It seems like you actually are interested
and
like you would give it a shot.
Yeah.
You will read first three chapters in that, you're like, I can't do this.
Well, I feel like I could. I feel like I can read some pretty dry, weird stuff.
Go for it. It'll take you.
Are you the one who has like extra copies of that book?
Sally Dar does.
Sally Dar has like five copies of it.
She may have gave them to Megan, because I feel like they're probably a little cumbersome to take all the way back to Atlanta.
Do you still have your copy?
Yeah, but mine is like paperback and is like on the verge of like falling apart. Just Amazon. Like I would get actually the hardcover. Do you like hardcover or paperback?
I feel like I like hardcover.
Me too.
Yeah.
But if a paperback is like dramatically cheaper.
Nah.
I love going on Thrift Books and buying a book that maybe I read on my Kindle and getting the hardcover version of that.
Oh, that's a good one. Let me write that down. Thrift. I never think to go on Thrift Books.
Dude, it's the best. Like most books you can find are around $5 or $6. You also get them like in really kind of cool, fun editions. Like I hate modern Stephen King novels.
With like,
or
the
like their cover art.
AI
looks,
art.
Yeah, it just looks like a weird AMC show. I want like the really weird classic 80s like covers on them.
Sometimes I get so... like when you go to a Barnes & Noble and they just have all those, they look like Russian 18th century versions, but they're brand new. And it's like the gold paper and it's leather, but it's, but it'll be like Alice in Wonderland or Fight Club or something. And it looks like it should be from the 1800s, but it's obviously like a 2020 pressing.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, this is sick, but then I'm always have to like, no. You're just falling for it. This is your bad taste.
Yeah.
This is not cool.
I mean, I guess they look pretty on a shelf and it's cool to have all the classics, but I feel like just buy like authentic, you know, like the Harvard like leather bound classics. They're like usually like black. You can buy them in big sections.
It was yes.
Like, those have like all of the classics.
But I'm also
on.
Never going to read those. Like the original Treasure Island. Like I'm never reading that.
I heard
that.
Treasure Island's actually really good. And you know what other book that's like a classic that people have just been going nuts about and revisiting is East of Eden.
Oh, I have that. You gave that to me.
Did I really?
Yeah.
Did I give you my copy?
I don't think so.
Oh, I gave you East of Eden?
Yeah, you were like, this is a good book to just have on your shelf.
Oh.
And I've never read it.
Back. Actually, I do think I have East of Eden.
I read The Grapes of Wrath like in high school.
Oh, yeah.
The ending is yikes.
Oh, boy.
But I will give East of Eden a read. That's probably a good... Yeah, that's a good... I actually know nothing about what it's about or anything,
it's
so I'm going
thick,
in blind.
Though.
I feel like it's not that long.
East of Eden? Not big.
Really?
It's like as big as Dune.
No. I have to look
East
at it
East of Eden
again.
Is thick.
And
there's also this one book called Stoner by John Williams, not the composer.
Okay.
And it came out, I feel like, in the 60s or 50s. That one on the Book Talk people that I love, everyone's loving it. It's about this like professor. And apparently it's almost like Catcher in the Rye. Like not a lot like happens, but it's so beautifully written. And it's pretty small. My dad started it. And he's like, this is one of the best books I've read in a while. And he's already a third the way through it.
Okay.
And, yeah. Stoner by John Williams.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's not about a stoner, by the way. That's just the guy's last name.
Okay, that's good to know.
Okay.
There's all these like movies also that are now just popping up from like the seven. Or what's that new movie that everyone, Nikki and something that everyone's talking about? Oh, God. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's one of these movies from like the 70s that all of a sudden everyone's talking about. It's their favorite movie and everyone's talking about it on Letterboxd. And it's just some movie.
Oh, Mikey and Nikki?
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen Mikey and Nikki.
I feel like these movies, just like when they hit a streaming service, now everyone's like, oh, yeah, I've seen this movie. I don't know.
But Mikey and Nikki was a big one that a lot of celebrities, when they would get interviewed on red carpets by Letterboxd, that would be in their top four. And I even think Emma Stone, my review for it was like, I watched this because Emma Stone had it in her top four.
Is it good? Is it worth watching?
Yeah, it's really good. It's about a guy who I think there's a part of the mafia, or like, you know, kind of like a henchman, and he's like on the run, and one of his henchman guys is like, hey man, like, I get it together, calm down, you're gonna be fine, they're not after you. And it's just like the 48 hours of them running around New York and stuff.
Interesting.
And one of the guys who's the actor in it, he was in he was just a very fantastic actor during the time. Peter Falk. He has like a glass eye.
In real life?
Yeah, in real life. He like lost his eye due to some medical condition when he was a child.
Columbo?
He is just like one of those OG guys that you can tell a lot of, like Robert De Niro, a lot of the Goodfellas dudes all took so much inspiration from Peter Falk, because he was like an OG guy who was in the army, worked like... very labor intensive jobs, right, and he got into acting really late into his life.
Okay.
And I just watched Woman Under the Influence that he's in, and that one is another one that a bunch of celebrities were saying.
Yes.
It was a masterpiece, but dude, so hard to watch, but one of the best.
Why hard to watch?
It's about like a mother who's like an alcoholic and a drug addict, and Peter Falk is the husband.
Oh, it's like a depressing movie?
And it's and it's directed by, you know, John Cassavetes, who was in...
That's the same guy who did Mikey and Nikki.
Yeah. John Cassavetes was like just a very good director.
So maybe that's his, like, he's having a little bit of a resurgence, but...
And his wife is in it, Gina Roland. She just died, I believe, this past year. She was the grandmother in The Notebook.
Didn't see The Notebook.
You've never seen The Notebook? The Notebook, Mike!
No. No, I haven't seen it.
But it is really,
I should cool watch that.
That people are like, there are these like, because it's so interesting the time we live in, where, you know, we don't have Blockbuster, but we have these digital blockbusters, but we rely on the streaming services we already pay for to get access to certain films. And then there are some that are even like pulled from the internet completely. You cannot stream this movie anywhere. You can't even rent it for $3. And it is kind of cool where
on eBay
stuff comes out of the vault and we can finally access it.
Yeah. Yeah. I will give these two. I want to get into all the Philip Seymour Hoffman movies. I just watched The Master again like a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
And someone put out a video essay about like why he's the best. Have you seen the movie Love, Liza that he did in 2002?
No, but I have it in my watch list.
It keeps coming up on like Amazon recommends movies you would like. And it's 2002, just like young. Have you seen 25th Hour?
No.
Edward Norton, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Barry Pepper, directed by Spike Lee, 2001. Could be one of the best movies of all time.
I have that in my watch list as well.
Amazing. So I want to watch Love, Liza. And there's another one where he plays like an alcoholic. I can't remember what that one's called. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, boy.
Philip Seymour Hoffman, alcoholic movie. Oh, come on. Oh, my God. He's in 51 movies? Well, he's the guy that I really want to start getting more into. And I just rewatched Gone Baby Gone. You seen that one?
I have never finished Gone Baby Gone.
Oh.
It's the whole thing with the cliff, and there's like a murder.
Well, don't give it away, okay. But there is Owning Mahoney. This is the other movie with Philip Seymour Hoffman. Have you seen that one?
No, I haven't.
That's Bill Burr talked about that. Also, Bill Burr, did you know that when he was in college, one of his professors for a semester was David Foster Wallace?
No way. Yeah. Bill Burr?
Yeah.
Billy Burr?
Yeah, the comedian. He talks about it on his podcast. He's like, I learned a lot from that guy. I just thought he was the coolest fucking teacher I ever had.
Wow.
Like, just very cool. Wow, I didn't know he's in 50 movies. 25th Hour is the fifth best ranked movie on Vulture for...
Oh, we got to watch it.
Almost Famous?
Also, Happiness is really good. Yeah, he's in Almost Famous. He's like the kid's like mentor.
And he's in The Talented Mr. Ripley? Oh, yeah.
Yes, he's one of, like...
Oh, dude, this guy had such a sick career. Magnolia, The Master.
Magnolia is one of my favorites.
Have you seen Before the Devil Knows You're Dead?
I told you about Before the Devil Knows You're Dead.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
With him and Ethan Hawke.
Yeah, love that. Doubt, have you seen Doubt?
Of course. I'm very familiar with Doubt because we did Doubt as a one-act play when I was in high school. So,
oh, you don't
yes,
say.
There was alcohol on his breath. And cut those fingernails.
Were you him, the main guy?
I wasn't. No, I was not. My friend Aaron Wertheim played Philip Seymour Hoffman.
What were you, tree number two?
No, it's a four-person cast. Like,
oh, the whole movie?
Yeah.
Play?
I mean, you can do it with just like, yeah, four people, but Doubt. And that, my friends, is gossip. You know when he like gives that sermon?
I haven't seen it.
Dude, I wouldn't say it's like a huge nail-biting
movie, it looks
but
good.
It's like a really good steady drama. And Viola Davis is in it, and she plays one of the little boys' mothers and stuff. It's a movie of doubt and judgment and gossip.
I can't believe. It drives me nuts that he is dead. It's just, he was... Like, I feel like he would have been the guy in any role. I mean, Jesse Plemons, amazing actor, but I feel like Jesse Plemons has sort of taken the spots that he would have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm thinking of Ending Things. I just kept picturing this should have been Philip Seymour Hoffman in that movie.
I agree.
Because he did Synecdoche with Charlie Kaufman.
Yes.
But Jesse Plemons nailed it.
Philip Seymour Hoffman's son is doing really good, though.
He did Licorice Pizza.
He did Licorice Pizza. He was just also
couldn't even finish it.
Like revisit it. It's a fine hangout film. Yes, it's like weird subject matter wise, but just like open up your mind. And but his son also was in Saturday Night, the SNL movie that just came out, and he does a really great job.
Did that
job.
Movie get any press? Did anybody do a single interview? A hot one?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh, yeah.
I feel like I haven't seen anything.
You know, Reese, a guy with the camera, he interviewed them and all of that.
Reese, the guy with the camera?
Yeah, Reese Feldman. Hopefully I'm saying his last name right.
I don't know if I know who that is.
He's an awesome dude. Anyways, they did, and that's a really good film. Really good one.
Okay. Oh, and then I want to give your dad props/credit/thanks once more, because your dad sent me all those Bruce Springsteen vinyls, and he also sent me the Bruce Springsteen VHS last year. And then Darone, my brother, yesterday was like, are there any VHS tapes or vinyls that you really wanted? And I was like, there are a few. And so I sent him a list. And then my mom was like, keep an eye out. You might be getting some packages. So I think, I'm guessing, I'm not like making this claim, but I believe that my parents got inspired from seeing like your parents me holiday gifts.
Yeah.
That my mom was like, "Oh, we should get Michael something." And I feel like they're gonna go nuts. Darone was like, "We're getting you a lot of shit." So
oh boy,
I haven't gotten Hanukkah stuff in a long time. That's like my mom will send me like a box of like a menorah and a dreidel and like a booklet.
Yeah,
because she just doesn't really know what to get me. But I think seeing that I like have my vinyl set up and that I like VHSs, I'm gonna be getting some good stuff. So I want to. And separately, thank you.
Good. I'm glad that this season of giving
is around. Yeah. So now I need to think about stuff to buy. Oh, my.
What are you going to get my dad, huh? No. You don't need to give my dad anything.
Oh, that's a good question.
I have his Christmas list. So figure out
what you're not getting him,
what I'm not getting him and what everyone else is not getting him and what just
can
didn't
you,
get
yeah,
around.
Can you do that? I would like to get him something.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Definitely.
It's a season of giving. Well, thank you guys so much for watching another episode. Our last one of the year. We'll be back at the top of next year with a new episode. And have a happy and healthy
absolutely.
New year
and I know
and
this comes out on the 23rd. If you're thinking last minute, oh my gosh, I didn't get my friend anything for Christmas, I'm booking cameos. This is like my time. I love doing little Christmas cameos, and I'm happy to do it for you guys. Thank you so much once again. Leave a comment, leave a like, leave a review. Your support means the world. And happy holidays and happy new year. Mwah.